Hey there, this is Dominique, and welcome to the Experiencing Financial Contentment podcast. This episode originally aired as a video on my YouTube channel. You can find this and other episodes where I discuss financial literacy, economic empowerment, and personal development by visiting my YouTube channel or by visiting my blog at www.djhendersonsr.com. Now enjoy the episode. Hey, in this video, I'm going to be breaking down the differences between realized and unrealized gain or losses, and I'm going to give you a tried and true tax strategy to lower the amount you pay out to Uncle Sam. Get the pen and paper out. Hey there, Dominique Henderson with DJH Capital Management, here to help you do more with your life and money, and we're on YouTube today breaking down the differences between realized and unrealized gain or losses without all the financial jargon and mumbo jumbo. And I want to give you a tax strategy that's been pretty tried and true over the years that you can use to lower the amount that you pay out to Uncle Sam once you trigger a realized gain. So let's kind of break some of this stuff down and get started. By the way, I just want to mention, if you want any more wealth building strategies or tax strategies, make sure you subscribe below to check out some more of these type of videos. I'm going to link a video up in the cards on this particular strategy that I covered in great detail a little while ago. So you really can't talk about the subject of realized or unrealized gain or losses without talking about the subject of taxes. The whole notion behind whether something is realized or unrealized is whether or not there has been some type of taxable event that has been triggered. The IRS considers taxable income as any increase to your wealth. So that could be a job that you work, and once you get paid, you know, the employer typically withholds some money and sends that to the U.S. Treasury for your tax liability at the end of the year. And then you decide on whether or not, you know, that was too much or too little, and you either get a tax refund or you have to pay. Or you can be self-employed where you do, you know, quarterly payments. Doesn't really matter. All of these are examples of how income comes in and increases of wealth come in. And what has to go out in regards to those increases would be the taxes. And all of these are taxable events. So when we shift the conversation to finances and investments, we have to define what actually triggers a taxable event. Now that we know that the main difference between unrealized and realized is whether or not there is a taxable event attached to it. So let's talk about one of the things that is pretty normal that can trigger a taxable event. Let's say you own a stock. Let's say you own 100 shares of Apple. And you bought those shares at, say, $50 a share. Now, as long as you're owning Apple and there's no problem, there is no taxable event per se. Now, maybe you're taxed on the dividends that Apple sends you, but that's another podcast, another day. Let's talk about when you actually sell some or all of the shares of Apple that you own. Well, when you sell, what you do is you trigger a taxable event. In finance world, it's called a tax lot. When you bought the Apple shares, you opened up a tax lot. And when you sell the Apple shares, you close a tax lot. So when you close that tax lot, you are realizing either a gain or a loss on your investment in Apple. Depends on how much you sell and depends on whether or not it is the sell prices above where you bought it will trigger either a gain or a loss that is realized. So let's just use some really simple round numbers. Let's say you bought one share of Apple at $50 a share, and you decided to sell that share of Apple at $100 a share, realizing a gain of 50 points, which is a great gain. You've doubled your money. Good for you. Now, when you sell that, you're going to be charged $50 or tax on the $50 that you gained. Now, that realized gain is an increase to your income, and therefore it will either get, you know, long-term gains treatment or short-term gains treatment. Just for the simplicity of this example, we're going to act like there is no difference between long-term and short-term gains treatment. We'll cover that in another video. But the point being is that extra $50 that you gained from selling that share of Apple is going to go into your income, and then you're going to be taxed on that. And so that is what a realized gain is. Let's say you own that same one, that one share of Apple at 50 bucks, and it goes up to 100 again, and you haven't sold it yet, but you on paper have $50 worth of gain. Well, that is an unrealized gain, and you don't realize it obviously until you sell that share of Apple. So that's the main difference between unrealized and realized. You can see that you can have the same amount of money either on paper or in real life. But if you decide to have it in real life and you trigger a taxable event, then you're gonna have to pay taxes on it. On the flip side, you can own that one share of Apple and bought it at 50. But let's say that Apple had a rough year and it went down to 25. Well, that $25 of loss, once you sell it, that can be used to offset your gain. We'll talk about that in just a second because that's the tax strategy that I want to give you. Now, let's say that you didn't sell the Apple share, but it went down to 25. On paper, you have an unrealized loss of $25, the difference between where you bought it at 50 and where it's currently valued at 25. So hopefully all that makes sense. Let me give you this strategy that investors have used for years and years to save them on their tax liability. Okay, how do you save on that tax liability? The term is called tax loss harvesting. Tax loss harvesting. It's kind of weird because you don't think about harvesting and loss in the same sentence. But essentially, this is how it works. Let's go back to that example with Apple. And let's say that you were on the I bought Apple at 50 and it went up to 100 scenario. That is that $50 of gain. Now, let's say that you also owned another stock. Let's say that you own Netflix. And you bought Netflix, one share again, at 50. And for whatever reason, Netflix went down to 25. So you have the $50 gain of Apple, and you have the $25 loss of Netflix. What a lot of investors have done over time is they may realize this $50 gain of Apple earlier on in the year, and then they sit down and talk to their accountant or financial advisor and say, hey, how can I lower my tax liability? Well, one way to do it is to sell your Netflix that you own at a $25 loss to reduce the amount of gains in total that you have for the year. You have a $50 gain in Apple and a $25 loss in Netflix. If you combine those together, that's only a $25 gain. And when you add that to your income, it definitely lowers the amount of taxes. Now, with those little small examples, that's not that big a difference. It's very fractional. But when you're talking about millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars, this can be very significant because, you know, the difference between selling something at a loss versus offsetting that on that gain could be the difference between, you know, where you lie in the tax scale and how much taxes you pay. So this is one of those strategies where I really implore you to sit down with a tax professional or a financial professional to help you work through the nuances of everything and make sure that you know, you're offsetting gains that are short-term with gains that are long-term appropriately and vice versa. Now, I have a question for you. What do you feel are the major advantages of utilizing a strategy such as tax loss harvesting that we talked about? I would love to hear from you. Put your note down in the comment and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Hey there. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, please give it a positive rating and review at the same location that you downloaded it. If you've got any questions for me, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel and leave me a comment as I answer every single comment I receive. Now have a great and prosperous day.